everybody has the same stories of struggle with the medical world, with the doctors and hospitals, with the carers, and what to do, with the struggle to cope with life when the body doesn't work so well, struggle with pain and symptoms, and it can feel overwhelming. And along with that is the voice about the future, my year, what will be, and all these voices and all this struggle makes it very hard to cope. And it's quite hard to see how, in the middle of all of that, the disease or the difficulty can be for us an opportunity, some kind of opening. It's quite difficult to see it. But if we think a little bit, that at the time when there is a disease, or a problem, a health problem, it's as if all our life we've been preparing for it. Because all the effort we put into ordinary life, that ordinary life is beseda, is fine, we're chasing beseda, that everything has to be beseda, and we work so hard at making everything beseda. Amashkanta, adesa, auto, the relationships between people, the house, the politics, and somehow or other, all of that work, hard work to make sure that life is beseda, is exactly we are pushing away the storm. We just don't want the storm. And when we're sick, the storm is on us. So in some way or other, it's already a truth. It's already reality that in some way we've been busy with it beforehand. So, in a way, the disease or a difficulty or health problem is inviting us to stop. Stop running away. Stop pretending that life is beseda. Stop working so hard to make life beseda. It's a place where we can say, okay, all the avoidance, all the helmut, now stops. And that's why the disease or a health problem brings us closer to the truth. And you may have heard the words nukuda mifne used, a turning point, a place where a sickness or a health problem becomes for us a turning point in our life. And it might be difficult to see it, but it's easier if we look at it as a turning point is where we turn to meet ourselves as we really are, where we turn towards what's really happening, because we have no choice anymore. That's the turning point. It's turning to, instead of running away from. There's nowhere left to run. But the question is, indeed, the first question is the big question: how do we stop it overwhelming, mean latzif? How do we stop this? How do we come out from under the power of this, and the thoughts, and the what will be, and all the struggle with the system, with ourselves, with the family, with the coping with life? How do we stop it overwhelming us? And I think this is one thing that we are here to learn. And the first thing to do is a little bit clear some space in our life. Because one of the things that happens is that we feel so full of struggling that we don't have any space. And then all the helpers also take away our space. Sometimes the best, the people want to help, and the people who are around us, and even the family that we need, sometimes we don't give ourselves enough space. And all the voices of society, of, like I said before, the chevra, that are all the time bringing narratives of wanting to doing and fixing ourselves and being busy with the treatments and being busy with this, that, all fine, but we should be aware that we may not have enough space, and that's when we get overwhelmed, hatzafa, because we're next. Efo achshav, efo achshav. Ma nitzrich lasot, ma nitzrich. Olai zeh. This problem, this solution, this answer. Talk to this and talk. We forget that the first thing to do is clear some, get some of the junk away, and some of the voices, even the voices that want to help us. Sometimes clear some voices away, clear some help away. It may not be the best thing, because it may be giving us, not giving us any room. So clear some room, and that can be practical. That every day we make sure we have half an hour with ourselves, we have 1 hour with ourselves, we walk alone, we sit and have a cup of tea, knowing that this space is where I meet myself. Never mind meditation as formal meditation, just that space that we need to give ourselves, because there is a place where we renew, we come back to our ourselves, and a little bit come up. And so sometimes we need protection, and protection even from being so busy in the name of getting better, or in the name of being okay, or in the name of coping with life. Yesterday I had a difficult talk with a woman that has cancer, and we talked a little bit about the space and her feeling of being overwhelmed, hatzafa. And it turned out that she felt responsible, achrayut, that she had to, because she was sick, she had to give extra to her children. She was like compensating, she felt she needed to give them more. And I said, do you think your children could be more of a participating, shutafut, in your process, in your own healing? And could they understand if you say, I need more space, I can't look after you in the way so intensively, I need every day some time, I need to, you can be more autonomous? And she said, yeah, it's something I should do, and they would understand it, and they're really dying to help me, but no one thought about helping me means giving Ima some room. That wasn't in the agenda, that wasn't in the, and she understood it. It's a very nice article by a Zen Buddhist teacher that was very, very sick, and she said, illness reminds us that we don't have forever to take care of what matters to us. Even my dreams began to tell me that it was time to let the spirit go where it needed to go. And so, years after first becoming ill, I turned the corner and asked for the impossible, a year free from my work to do what I loved, while I still could. And I wandered, I did retreats, I spent time with beloved friends, I lay on my back in the desert and watched the blue sky, and I stumbled into happiness that I would not have believed possible. I chose not to return to my work, and in these years of simplicity, my life has opened up like a flower, and grace has come in a thousand ways, like a cloud of butterflies on a summer morning. So her process was, in a way, giving herself space. So when we find ourselves with space, one of the things we might realize is that the voice in us that is crying is only one of many voices, and there are many, many voices in us saying many different things, which often we don't notice because we put the voice of difficulty, of pain, of illness as the dominant voice. There is a wellness voice. There is a wellness voice. And Leela's talking about that, and maybe Leela will be doing some work with that. The body is telling us that there is wellness here as well. Actually, I don't know how many of us think or know that we have a head, unless we have a headache. Do we know we have a head? How's our head? We don't even notice we have a head unless it hurts. We have a head. We have hands. We have ears. I met a 101-year-old Cambodian Buddhist monk one time in America, and I asked him, "What's your practice?" And he said, "I just walk through my body every day in the morning, and I ask every little bit of my body, how are you? Left ear, Ozen small, Echata, Aniva Seda. Ozen Yamin, Echata, how are you? Aniva Seda. Right cheek, how are you? How are you?" In other words, if we look, there's many voices there. But we need space to listen to those voices, because they may be more subtle, they may not be there, as I say before, on the Pama. So we can listen. And if we listen carefully, we can see or hear or feel that their voices are voices of life in us. Even the illness can be voices of life. Even a difficulty, a pain, can be a lived experience, a voice that is telling us, I'm here. I hurt, I'm crying, but I'm here. So it's a shift in the view. And I think that basically a human being is a kind of ecology, kind of ecologia, of all these voices all talk all together. And if we just see a tree, only the tree in the ecology, we don't notice small flowers under the tree, or we don't notice the earth under the tree, because the tree is very big. But the earth and the tree are one, they're both needed. So in our same in our voices, they're all needed. We anachnu tzrichim kol hakolot haeleh. Ve'rak she'letet lanu space, give lanu space to hear all these voices, like, and pay attention. We have a pain body and we have a being body. We have a body of pain, and we don't have to be ill to have a body of pain. I don't think anyone doesn't have a body of pain. The first maka hit we get in life from any kind already builds a body of pain in us. When we're 0 years old or 1 year old and we don't get tzitzi in time and we start to cry, that's when it starts. We already have pain body. But along with a pain body, we have a being body. A body of just being, a life body. So we can look at it like that. I worked with a woman for many years that had cancer, And she had many stages and so on, and many experiences. And we work to make every single experience a journey, a kind of listening. And at one stage she was taking a lot of morphium, and she said, "Oh, I can't meditate, I'm in a dream, I'm tired, morphium is standing between me and my mindfulness." I said, "No, just be mindful and aware of the dream. The dream is the voice of your life right now. Be with that. That's good enough. You don't need more than that." And she shifted the view and was able to just to be with change of mind produced by morphium, and how it was and how it changed and how it was like this and how it was like that. And it became interesting for her, the journey, this particular small journey of this period when she was taking morphine. So we want to invite back our being, being body, the body of being in us, the body that's just existing. It's like the Shekhinah that we sent away because we're so busy with things. We sent away the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is, in a way, our being body, our being in us. And we need to invite her back. Meditation is a good way of doing this, and of course it's not the only way. But meditation, as you maybe already felt, it's the beginning of just being, inviting what is. And in terms of what we're doing here, we're not only going to be learning meditation, but we're going to be learning Dharma. And Dharma really is, I would say, a spiritual journey or spiritual direction based on the Buddhist teaching. So there are tools in there of meeting the being body, but there is also understanding and wisdom. And we need them both. The wisdom is, for example, to listen to the truth in us. The truth which is bigger than I am a victim. Life comes along and shows us things. Being with that truth needs more than just technique. It needs some wisdom. It needs some understanding. Understanding, for example, that life is always bringing us conditions that we cannot control. And a lot of our suffering is due to our need to control and to survive in meeting a life that doesn't give us what we want. Life is changing. Conditions change, and we are pushing against the conditions because we want to survive, we don't want to die, we want to be happy, we want to be well, we want to be rich, we want to be whatever we want to be. And life doesn't supply us what we want. Life has its own agenda, if you like. So this mismatch, this ihatama between our inner needs and what life, the conditions of life, make the suffering. That's an understanding that gradually can grow. It's an existential truth, and it helps us to let go. It helps us to, in a way, to surrender. I'll try and find what she says about surrender. I had to learn to respond with compassion to the requests of the body, to treat the body as a partner in the dance. This is most true when the lights go out and I am once again whirling in the territory of pain and weakness. It's easy to fight and resist, but I've learnt the hard way how resistance increases the suffering. Instead, there has to be a kind of surrender. The body is in the lead, movil, and my job is to follow it. And that's what this dancing partner has taught me. I think there's a wisdom in there. We don't have to give up, not look after ourselves, say, oh, we give up. It's not the same. Surrender is not giving up. Surrender is reducing the chikuch, friction, between us and life. There is an amazing book. This is one book that all of you might like to read. It's called Grace and Grit. And by Treya Wilbur, the wife of Ken Wilbur, about her journey with cancer. It's a beautiful book. And in some place in that book, she said, I realize that actually surrender is taking charge, because it's an active process to be with what's happening. So in a subtle way, I'm back in charge by surrendering, rather than fighting all the time. Litmaser, hitmasrut. Zelo larimita yadayim, and say, I will just, I have nothing to do, I won't treat myself, ani lo metapel beguf. It's not that, it's litmaser to the situation, taking control in a different way, instead of constant struggle and battle, to get out of the battle. And it's not only sick people that have battles. Most of us have a choice of be in a battle with life or to litmaser, to surrender. So when we surrender in some way, what she describes it as being a dancing partner, to be in the dance with my body and my life. And it's making friends again with myself, making friends with my life. This does, as I say, need help. Anachnu tzirichim k'tat kelim. So when we give ourselves some space, meditation can be a tool, kli, that will help us. And it helps to change the awareness, to shift the awareness from mahabaya to what's the problem to I'm here as a friend of my life. That shift, meditation can help us do it. We just now were breathing. Meditation on the breath, it's no problem. In the breath is no problem. It's just breathing. So, we will move towards the lived experience. There's no problem in just seeing. There's no problem in knowing. The mind that knows has no problem. Even if we know pain, the knowing doesn't have a problem. The pain hurts. But the one that sees the pain is just seeing. So meditation can help us being with difficulty, because in the act of knowing, there's no problem. In seeing, there's no problem. In awareness, there's no problem. In mindfulness, being mindful, being aware, tsumat lev, just being aware, it's no problem. We are aware of something that gives us pain, but in the awareness itself is no problem. If we are aware of the bird going by, there's no problem. It doesn't hurt. If we're aware of the breath, if we're aware, just knowing we're aware and awake, it's just existent. Just so as much as we can be with the witness, ha'ed, to be the witness of our experience, we're out of the problem. There's less identification, hizdahut. There's just seeing. That ability to step back and just see our life and see our experience gives us the freedom to be out of the hizdahut, the identification with pain and difficulty, which is out of the suffering. Still might have pain, still my body may not work and so on, but our ability to see it is like step back and be a witness, is taking us out of the problem. We're just watching, just like we watch a healthy hand, and we watch a non-healthy hand. We watch a leg that is comfortable, and we watch a leg that is hurting. Nothing, no problem in the watching. That's what we're trying to learn this weekend. That's what we want to try and learn together. It's why we do meditation. In the watching, there's really no problem. Just two words about the practice. Important aspect of our mindfulness, of practice that we do, Hatirgul, is not to choose, to be not preferring, lo adifut. So we just want the nice, for example. We want to look at a rose and we want to look at the thorns on the rose. A rose has a flower and it has kotsim, the thorns. In our mindfulness is looks at both equally. That's a process of freeing us from being the victim or being the sufferer. It is that kind of insight why they use mindfulness as a technique in pain clinics, in hospitals, in the world, where when drugs don't work and injections don't work and so on, there are many, many clinics of chronic pain where mindfulness is used as a method. And it's our ability to be like fair, Ed Hogen, a fair witness. Now there is a rose, now there is a thorn. There is, as important, the leg that is painful and the leg that is not painful are equal. We just watch. And that's very freeing. Because again, it takes the pain off the bama. Instead of being all around the problem, we are back into just awareness. There's this and there is this. At the same time, mindfulness can help us directly to deal with pain and uncomfortable feelings in the body. And we will be doing some work on that. We will be doing at least one specific guided meditation, maybe more than one, on painful sensations in the body and how to work with them. And it's basically looking more deeply at the pain instead of trying to shut it up, to close it down. We look at it as being, like she said, dance. We dance with the pain. There is a painful experience, the turning point, to turn towards the pain and begin to see it's not as total. When we run away from it, it becomes everything. When we turn towards it, we in a way come back into power. We are with it. We are a dancing, she said in this article, dancing partner. Okay, partner for the dance. So I want to finish there. There are many new sort of new age slogans going around which do have problems, and I think we should, one of the things we can do is get in a way free to start, like Lila said at the beginning, with an open free mind. I don't think we can ask anyone to make friends with our disease or health problem, that it to say you must be a friend of your, that's one of the new age slogans, be a friend of your disease. I don't think anyone wants to be, I don't think it's one of these slogans. We don't need to make friends with our disease, but we need to make friends with ourselves. And when we make friends with ourselves, we feel we're a much bigger person than our health problem. Much bigger. We're a whole ecology of all levels of being, including a spirit which is like a Buddha nature or pure being in us, which is absolutely nothing to do with how we feel, how the body feels. We're that as well. So we're a big person, each one. And we're here to experience that, to push the boundary of our being, to notice that we're big people here, and be friends with that, with ourselves. Okay, so let's just take one moment of quietness and just contemplate a little bit, a few minutes.